And the time during Thanksgiving. And you know, you didn't ask grandma, how are you? So you call her up and say, hi, grandma. She said, oh, not too well. Been going for the holiday. But one time my mother was sitting there and they just served strawberry shortcake. And my grandmother leaned over and said, you know, I'm going to go.
Needless to say, it didn't have any strawberry.
I'm a strong macho kind of guy, but I'm going to keep it.
Yeah, hey, look, nothing bothers me. She could have said it to me. I would have said that to her. But then again, that's what I said every time she talked to me. That's right.
Are we, is this round table?
Yeah, I believe so.
Have they had the chairs like that?
That was like that when I came in.
It's actually a decoy. They wanted all the weird ducks from out of town to sit here. You know, the old
ones that didn't know the road.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Know the road. Weird stuff.
Yeah. Oh, I was your Robinson. Okay.
Now, who's here? Hey, Roy.
It's no. Gabby.
Just a little bit cool.
And then there's
Little Hook.
Which,
of course,
you remember Sue Ann Langdon?
No, who's that?
You remember Sue Ann Langdon?
Hey, I would have.
She was recently in a film too. She played.
Harry Langdon's granddaughter or something.
UHR. She was in Weird Al Yankovic. Played his aunt.
That was a movie of absolutely Ibsenist dramatic judgment. I thought it sang the true spirit of the human soul. That film was filled with about six really funny women segments. Just look at the movie and the segments.
Coming in the library.
Just the idea killed me. When Michael Roberts. His name Michael Roberts. I thought he was hilarious. Very funny.
He does Ernest better than Ernest.
See, I walked into that expecting absolutely nothing. You know, so when I thought that it was fairly entertaining and I laughed more than six times. I'm not saying that they were all genuine, but there was it tickled me.
Actually, I liked almost all the segments. I hated the dramatic segment because I thought he was a really boring character actor outside the framework of a parody.
Well, you know, I thought that they actually did a good job of turning that to a minimum. They had to have some sort of plot line, otherwise it would have been like a selection of skits. But they gave you just enough plot for everything to kind of make sense. Stayed out of the way. Took about 20 minutes.
We stay in here. This is the round table room.
That's right.
Wow,
that's a great memory.
We just have to get into this one, and why'd you want to do it? A basic starter question here.
Well, I was sent a script, and. From that point on, I wanted to do the film. I had always been a student, I guess, of the Vietnam War. And as an actor, I always felt that I wanted to be involved. In that way, in a Vietnam film, and then as more and more films about the Vietnam War kept getting made, and really great films that we've all seen, I kept saying, oh, there's another one that I'm not going to be in, and we got to a point where it felt like just about everything had been said about the Vietnam War, and then I read this script and I realized that this is really what needed to be said. just about every film that I've seen about the Vietnam War has been a demonstrative film, in that they've made it very clear what it was like with guns and dead bodies and horror. And I don't think anyone's ever really gone after this story. It seems to be a much more internal story. Does that answer your question? If it doesn't, just yell.
Awesome. It's domestic.
It's really, Norman said this last night, that for every name on that wall, there is a family just like the family we tried to portray. And it's a much smaller story than any I've ever seen about the Vietnam War that I think speaks for a much larger issue. Fun part, that was challenging. I was a little concerned actually when I accepted this film. Most of the work that I do and that I've done so far, I pretty much know what I'm going to do going into it. I know how I'm going to behave in this scene, what I want to get to in this scene. And in this film, there were three or four scenes where when I accepted the role, that I didn't know how I was going to play it. And it's the first time in my film career where I was directed. Norman really, really led me through this role and helped me quite a bit. The potential in a film like this, I think, is the potential to overact, to be overly dramatic, certainly exists. And Norman really kind of guided me through that. He was the first person I would look to after each take and say, "How'd I do? How was it?" Only in the sense of what I've done so far. I certainly don't care to only play leading men. I mean, these kind of roles, in a certain way, appeal to me much more. It's just so hard to get people to let you do roles where you're not the flashy lead character. Hopefully, after people see this, I'll start getting more of these things sent to me. But these kind of films really appeal to me more than the big commerce vehicles that I generally get sent.
Well, the thing that struck me was...
Thank you. It turned out that way. I mean, that was not my intention at all. It became that as we worked on it. I took the role for very selfish reasons. I just wanted to play this guy. I just really wanted to play this part. But it's a huge departure from that, from that action flashy genre. This is a very light touch to this film, I think. And I really think that it lends itself to that light touch, because most of what we do, most of what actors do, most of what film people do, is we invent stories. We make stories up, and we pretend to be these fictional characters, and we try and play them as honestly as we can. But the bottom line is, it's still a created story. This story was based so much more in an experience that the majority of the world went through for 15 years. And I don't know if another script like this is going to come along in a long time, simply because it deals so much with with an event that is, you know, placed in a certain time. We worked with a group in Paducah who became very supportive of the film once they, you know, they understood the story we were trying to tell.
Were there even any members of that group somewhat like Emmett in your opinion?
Yeah, there were a couple people who I actually spent some time around, just to let a little bit of that, you know, rub off on me.
How would you describe the kind of person that you seem to be talking about?
I think these guys are all carrying around a very large weight. I think they're carrying around a burden, an emotional burden, that whether for their own reasons or whether for the reason that the public won't you know let them set it down, these guys are so confused and so they just don't know that it's okay to it's almost as if they don't think they have a place in the world anymore, and I think the American public needs to let them know that it's okay. Needs to, I don't know, give them a hug and embrace them and say, it's not your fault, you know. And that's kind of what they were told when they came home, you know. And that was the message. There was so much guilt tied up in the Vietnam War.
I was going to ask you about the look of the character, how you established that idea.
I knew that I wanted to play it a little older. The look. Thank you very much. Can I have a croissant? Thank you. We fooled around with it. We had been preparing this part for, I guess, 4 or 5 months before we actually started shooting, and the look kind of evolved. It's a very different look for me.
When the trailer was shown and several people behind me didn't know it was you, they said, that's not Bruce Lee.
Well, that's good. I take that as a compliment. I like that. I followed the story of, you know, the book very closely, I think. Obviously, there are some things that had to be compressed just because of, you know, the amount of time. But I think you can ask Bobby Ann. She's here somewhere. But I think we stayed fairly close to that story. We tried to maintain the integrity of that story. He saw a lot of, you know, young girls for this thing. He saw, I guess, everybody in Hollywood who was, you know, right for it. And it's so difficult to find a 17-year-old who can play 17 in Hollywood. Most of the 17-year-olds out there are 17 going on 30. And Emily really brought that quality to the film. She really has that inquisitiveness, sometimes childishness that is just so hard to act. You know, once you, as you get older, and you get farther away from that, from your youth, I think it's a very hard thing. I think she did a great job. I think she really pulled it off well. I think ask me another question. I don't know. General idea of what was required, but I didn't really nail it down, especially the scene in the woods. Until that day, until the, you know, day we shot it. Luckily, by the time we got to that scene, I had already been playing the character for a while, so I kind of felt my way around it. And as I said, you know, Norman was there the whole time.
You're conscious
to do too much, and we really try to stay aware of that. And on a couple of those scenes, we shot them two or three different ways with two or three different levels of intensity, which then gave Norman the opportunity in the editing room to assemble his choice of, you know, what we did. And I think one of the really great things about it is the way he was able to choose, I think, the most dignified takes that we got to. But it was an interesting experience in not having it all figured out. It was actually pretty exciting.
What do you expect of the movie? What do you expect people will consider now?
I have, for me, this is really not a film of commerce. While it you know may be successful, my personal feelings about it, if that's what you're asking me, I would like to reach the Vietnam veterans and the families of the people who, you know, lost someone over there, and if we can just do that, I would be more than satisfied. I think that it does have a very broad reach.
Are there names on that wall that you know?
Yeah.
Anything about that you care to talk about?
No.
Let's put it this way. Do you think that there will be a lot of other people like Mama who have never been to the wall but have names on the wall?
I think that's kind of the message of our film, is that there is a door. There is a way out, and to whatever degree that healing process happens for people, that wall is a very cathartic experience. I went there almost 2 years ago, probably 3 months before I started the film, and it's very moving. It's a very powerful place to be, and so much gets left there, physical things, and I think emotional things as well. And it's a very, very unorthodox film, in that, especially compared to the films that I've done in the past, in that it's not formulaic. It's in most films, in a film called Die Hard, every 10 minutes something happened. Someone was blown up. Someone was killed. Some big action sequence happened. And this film was not like that at all. We didn't make it easy for you. It was a story that I think starts very, very, very slowly and very subtly. And about 2/3 of the way in, it just kind of builds and builds and builds, and it just kind of stays in your chest. It's not a traditional commercial film. In the scene in the tree where I said I'm not afraid to die, and it's almost as if that would be the answer for him. I played it so he doesn't want to look at it. He doesn't want his problems answered. He doesn't want anything made easier for him. And I think that's his weight. That's the thing he carries around. It's a little early for me to answer that. I don't know. I mean, what do you think? It's a very different role for me, and this film and this work is much closer to the work that I used to do in New York on stage, where I used to play a lot more character roles, and it's really a product of being on television for 4.5 years playing the same guy for 65 hours of television, that kind of locked me into a direction that I didn't particularly care to go in, and I really had no choice in it. I'd much rather play characters than, you know, leading men. I'm certainly capable of playing leading men, but I don't want to do anything the same way twice. It just doesn't interest me. So I'm sure there are going to be a lot of people who are going to comment on how this film is going to, and you know, what direction this film will take.
Well, I was just thinking that Hollywood.
They kind of, you know, give me my way. Films like this just don't come along that often. This is a very risky film for a studio to do, in that it's not an immediately recognizable commercial piece. But I think it was very, very brave of Warner Brothers and very admirable that they chose to tell this story. There are a lot of studios who won't go after films that are not commercial, who won't do things that don't represent some, you know, some kind of financial gain for them.
And, did you watch the film?
I felt again last night that it's a very personal, subjective film. I found myself last night watching Emily Lloyd's work more than anything else, and really following her story, which is a very nice thing. I mean, this film could have just been about Emmett, but it's not. It's not even his story. It's about this girl who never knew her father, who has no experience with the Vietnam War, and who completely missed it. I mean, everyone here in this room was alive then, and here's a girl who was not. And I think that for this film to address that, and to address that whole group of that whole generation who grew up after it, is another interesting thing about it. It doesn't fit into a neat little, you know, package. We don't say it's just about this one guy. It's about mothers and fathers and grandmothers and children of, you know, the veterans who were there.
Get back to this previous.
I think so. I think that, I mean, I think you always have a more intelligent film when you have intelligent characters. We've all seen films where, you know, the bad guys wave guns and just kill people, and that only works for, you know, a couple minutes, and then you have to give them something else, you know, to do. I think the casting of this film, I think all the supporting characters are so strong and so right on, and so no one ever comments on their life in this film. No one ever says, this is what I'm feeling now, and this is what I want you to understand about me now. They just behave. And that I like to see that so much more than actors who tell you, or, you know, characters who tell you what they're feeling and try to inform the audience in a very presentational way. I just think that it's much more interesting to see it come out of behavior.
Do you ever have a sense of how a picture is going to do, for instance, after you finish Die Hard or saw a rough cut? And just